Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Luke, chapter 22. Luke, chapter 22. We'll read verses 28 through 34 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Luke, chapter 22, verses 28 through 34. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And let's finish on verse 34 together. Ready? And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day, before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And let's pray. Father, thank you for what you've done for us. What a great place. Lord, when we walk into these buildings, we sense your presence. We know that you're here. We know that you would like to do a work in our hearts and our lives. Now please, Lord, do that work tonight through our preacher. Make us what we should be so that when we leave here, we could reach others for you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This morning I announced my sermon title. I'm going to call it, They Both Want to Use You. They Both Want to Use You. If you'll listen this evening, I'll remind you of something that we hear often, but rarely do we ever truly affix our thinking to this thought long enough to get a full realization of what's going on. Luke chapter 22, verse 31, the Bible says, And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Now let me explain. I believe Peter was saved. But I think the Lord was saying to him, Jesus saying to him, better watch out, Peter. The devil would like to use you. He's trying to get your potential. What's happened here in Luke 22, Jesus had just shared the Lord's Supper with his disciples. He is now predicting Peter's denial. Now, when it says Simon, it says Simon, Simon here twice. It's talking about Simon Peter, so you know. And Jesus says, Satan desires to have you. You see, Peter was one of great potential. Let me explain something. Anybody that's born again is of great potential. Why? Not because of who you are, but because of whose you are. That's because now living inside you is the Holy Spirit of God, and so you understand the sky's the limit. You and God make a majority, and God has a great work for you to do. So now, Jesus is about to be crucified, and they've taken the Lord's Supper, and Jesus begins to warn Simon Peter, and he says, now, Peter, you've got a lot of potential now, and Peter, you could do something great here, but I gotta warn you, the devil wants your potential. The devil wants to use you. Satan wanted to get him. Jesus wanted to use Peter. But Jesus was wise enough to know that if Jesus wanted to use Peter, that Satan also wanted to use Peter. So Jesus warns Peter of Satan's bid to use Peter's potential. Peter would, and so you know, Peter does struggle some. Peter goes back and forth, and there's a little time of denial where Peter denies the fact that he knows Jesus Christ, and that Peter lies about it, and he kind of shies away from Christ. And we knew something. We knew that if there was a battle going on between Jesus Christ and Satan over this fellow named Peter, that meant he was about to be used in a big way. Somehow, he was about to be used in a big way. But the question is, by who? Who's about to use Peter? Is it going to be Satan? I believe that at this point when Jesus says, now Peter, watch out, Satan desires to have you. I think at that moment, God is saying, now Peter, you're about to be used in a magnificent way. Something big is available. But wait a minute, used by who? I believe Peter had the potential to lead thousands. Lead him to do what though? Who's he going to lead them for? For who would he lead them? Who is he going to influence? Well, let me tell you something. Thank God. You get over there into the beginning chapters of the book of Acts, you find out, though Peter wavered a little bit, he landed on his feet and he ends up standing at the day of Pentecost and preaching, and 3,000 people got saved, baptized, and joined the church. Well, I think I figured out who used him. But I believe days before, Jesus said, now, you've got great potential, man, and you better be careful because I want to use you, but Satan wants to use you, and there was a decision that had to be made, who's going to use you? Peter had to decide, who's going to use me? Thank God that Peter chose to let it be Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. Wonder if Satan would have got the great D.L. Moody. Can you imagine the multitude of people that D.L. Moody could have led down the tubes into sin because he was a powerful man? Wonder if Satan would have gotten Charles Haddon Spurgeon, one of the greatest preachers that ever walked the face of this earth. Thousands saved, a church of 5,000 people. What would have happened if Satan would have gotten a hold of Charles Haddon Spurgeon? What would happen if Satan got a hold of a Jack Hiles or a Lee Robertson? I was thinking about it. We can thank God that when Brother Nash was a young man, that God got a hold of his heart. I believe this. I believe that Brother Nash, he could have gone out into the world, and he could have been out of the world. He probably could have gone to Hollywood. He's got a lot of talent. What would have happened if Satan would have got a hold of Brother Nash or Brother Bush? Think of the potential. Think of how Satan could have led thousands of people astray. Did you know Satan wants to use you? Satan wants to use you. But God wants to use you. Let me see if we can dissect this thought for just a little while this evening. We hear about it all the time, but let's really focus in for a little while on this thought. Let me say, first of all, you should want to be used. You should want to be used. 2 Timothy 2:21, it says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. You ought to want to be meet for the master's use. You ought to want to be used. Now, why would a saved person not want to be used by God? Well, I can tell you why. Stinginess. They want to live their life for themselves. If you're here tonight and you say, I don't want to be used by God, you're stingy. You're stingy. You're claiming life for yourself. Life is not all about you. It's not all about me. It's all about God. It's all about the needs of others. Look, we're saved. We're on our way to heaven. This life down here is short. We've got all eternity to have a lot of good stuff for us. Let's do something with our life while we're down here. Or do you truly believe there's an afterlife? If you really believe there's a heaven, then you ought to say, you know, something between here and there, I'll do all I can for God. Because the moment I die, I'm going on to glory, and I'm going to have it made for the rest of my life. You see, the worst thing that will ever happen to you will happen in this life, because everything past this life is great. The best thing that will happen to the people in the world is this life, because the moment they die, they're going to hell, and they face misery for the rest of their life. Those of us that have it made in the next life ought to live this life for those that do not have it made in the next life. You ought to want to be used. When you wake up in the morning, why don't you say this? God, you use me today. God, I want to be used by you today. I'm not just talking about on Sunday. I do not understand what has happened to Christianity. What is wrong with us? Why do we only want God in our life on Sunday? Why is it we'll come to church on Sunday and we'll put on our Sunday go to meeting attitude and clothes and our Sunday go to meeting way of being a Christian for one day? That's wrong. God never intended for us to be a Christian on Sunday. He intended us to be a Christian 365 days a year. Why don't you wake up every morning in your life and say, God, use me today. I remember Brother Hiles, when I would sit under his ministry, he would pray this prayer every day of his life. Lord, help me to cross the paths of those that Jesus would help if he were alive today. What would happen if every one of us, every day of our life, prayed the prayer, God, help me to cross the path of those that Jesus would help if he were alive today, and then help me to help them? Do you want to be used? You ought to want to be used. The reason you don't want to change your life more is because you don't want God to use you more. We clean up our lives because it makes us usable vessels. Listen, if a man therefore purge himself, it says in 2 Timothy, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. The word purge there means cutting things off that will keep you from being blessed of God. Whatever you got going on in your life that hinders God from using you, you got to purge that. You got to cut that away. You got to remove that. Why? So you can be used by God. Now you listen to me. We ought to want to be used. But let me ask you a question, a personal question. Those that be sitting in the balcony, do you want to be used of God? Do you really? As you sat there tonight, have you said to God, God, use me? Or do you just want to use God? See, our problem is we want to use God. God, take care of me. God, bless me. God, meet my needs. Wait a minute. We're to be used of God, not to use God like a credit card. He's the emergency medical center, isn't he? I'm sick. Run to God. I need money. Run to God. I have needs. Run to God. I need heaven. Run to God. Well, why can't God run to you and get something? We're to serve Him. The balcony. Do you want to be used of God? Stop and face it. Yourself. I'm not talking to your husband or your wife. You. Do you want to be used? Those of you on the lower floor, on the platform here, you want to be used? What's a conscious thing? You gotta say, I want to be, and then surrender yourself to God to be used. Listen, I'll tell you something. See that piano right there? That piano, if it could talk, it would say to Mrs. Doss, the pianist, use me. Play me. Make something good of me. You ought to be like that piano. You know, if a set of golf clubs could talk, you know what they'd say? Play golf with me. Play golf with me. Why? They want to be used. If tools could talk, you know what tools would say? Build something with me. Use me. Take me out of the toolbox and use me. The happiest tools you men own are not the ones that are hanging on your pegboard that you've never used. Tools were created to be used. Some of you need to get your tools out and bring them into the church and start doing some work with them. You know, if books could talk, you know what they'd say? Read me. Read me. Read me. Read me. If an organ could talk, you know what an organ would say to the organist? Play me. Play me. Use me. I want to be used. I wouldn't doubt that that organ, when it's not used and the piano is being used, I wouldn't doubt that that organ, if it could talk, would say, oh, come on. I want to be in that song. I want to play while the choir was singing. I want to get involved. I want to be used. Why? That organ was created to be a vessel that is surrendered to the fingers of the organist, and it wants to be used. Are you like that with God? When you see someone else winning one to Christ or building a bus route, there's something inside you say, come on, use me. Or you like the golf clubs that want to be placed in the hand of a golfer. Say, come on. Come on, use me. If a plane could talk, you know what it'd say to the pilot? Use me. Fly me. Take me somewhere. Fill me with people. Do you know that if a fishing pole could talk, you know what it'd say to the fisherman? Fish with me. Fish. 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 Fish with me. Are you like that with the Savior? Good. Are you saying, use me, God. Use me. You know what a football player says to the coach? Play me. I want to play. I want to play. I want to play. Now, you're looking at a guy that is the worst bench setter in the world. I want in the game. I want in the game. I'll tell you, we had cross country and we had football at the same time. the seasons were at the very same time. I don't know if it's like that around here, but you had the guys running cross country and you had the guys playing football. I tried out for football and I didn't hardly get to play. I had to sit on the bench for a little while. Then I seen this cross country thing and I thought, you know what? That's a game for me right there. I went to cross country, got to run in every meet. You say, well, how'd you pick? I want to be used. Now, I believe you got to have a good, strong bench, but I am telling you something. I want to be used. You know what? You know what a musician says to the maestro? Use me. Musician ought to sit there and just wait for their part of the orchestra and their part to pipe in. They ought to be sitting there at the edge of their seat saying, hey, here we go. This is my part. I'm going to be used. Do you want God to use you? Don't you want to be used? The private in the military ought to look to his commanding officer and say, use me. Use me. I want to be used. Good Christians ought to want to be used. Do you want him to use you? Or are you just using him? Think about it. Number one, you should want to be used. Number two, the devil wants to use you. The devil wants to use you. The devil's primary purpose is to keep you from being used by God. You see, the devil doesn't want to use you because he wants to use you. The devil wants to use you to keep you from being used by God. The devil hates God. The devil's big problem is not with you. The devil's big problem is with God. So, the devil wants to hurt God. And the devil will try to use you to hurt the God that he hates. You see, God has a will for your life. Everybody in here, God wants to use you. Every one of you. Everybody here, God wants to use you. And the devil comes along and says, I hate God. And to hurt God, I'm going to hurt his people by trying to keep them from doing God's will. When you do God's will, that pleases God. That honors God. When the devil can get you not to do God's will, it dishonors God. Therefore, the devil has hurt God by keeping you from doing God's will. You know what? It's God's will that you come to church. It's God's will that you come to church. So the devil would like you to do anything but come to church. Anything. If there's somebody out there tonight sitting on a bar stool getting drunk that ought to be in church, the devil says, great, I'm for that. Just don't show up at church. Why? For you to show up at church honors God. But wait a minute. It doesn't even have to be something bad that keeps you from doing the will of God. If there's somebody out there tonight, they're out there doing good deeds, helping little old ladies carry their groceries out of Walmart, out into the parking lot, and they're just out there volunteering because they're good people. They're doing a good deed instead of being in church, but being in church is what honors God most, and the devil has tricked them into thinking that their good deed, their choice of good deed, can take the place of God's command or God's will of God. And therefore, the devil has got you off track of honoring God ultimately, whether it's a good deed or a bad deed. He just does not want you to do the deed that God wants you to do. The devil comes along and says, do your will. You choose what you want to do. Just don't do God's will. Just don't do God's will. It doesn't have to be good. Just as long as it's not what God wants. Why? The devil wants to use you. How does he use you? He uses you to hurt God by trying to keep you from doing what God wants to use you to do. He wants to use your body. The devil wants to use your body. The devil wants to use your body to get his liquor in it. The devil wants to use your body. Ladies, the devil wants to use your body to cause lust of men. He wants you to unclothe it. He wants you to show it off. He wants you to wear your clothing tight. He wants to cause lust in the minds of men, and he wants to use your body. The devil wants to use your body to fornicate. The devil wants to use your body to commit adultery. The devil wants you to set your body in some dead church so you're a bad example to good Christians. Is he already using you? Is he already using you? See, the devil wants to use you. The devil wants to use your voice. He wants you to cuss. He wants to use your voice. He wants you to be hateful. He wants to use your voice. He wants you to sing wicked songs. He wants to use your voice. Don't you think the devil would like to got a hold of Jimmy Lindsay? Where you at, Brother Lindsay? Don't you think the devil would like to get a hold of that fellow's voice? Thank God that he didn't give his voice to the devil. The devil wants to use your voice to gossip. The devil wants to use your voice to tell dirty jokes. The devil wants to use you. He wants to use you. You know what? The devil wants to use your children. He wants to use your children. He wants your children to do anything but what God wants them to do. He wants them to do what they want with their life. He wants them to do what Dad wants, just as long as it's not what God wants. He wants them to do what Mom wants, as long as it's not what God wants. There are parents that have a will for their children rather than the will of God for their children. Honestly. We had a young man surrender to be a missionary today. There are parents in here that if they had their choice, they would say, don't you do that. They don't want their kids to surrender to the mission field. Why? You have a will for your child, but it's not the will of God. Did you know within the will of God, a child is safer on the mission field than in the security of your backyard playing? You think you're a greater protector than God? The safest place in the world for a child is in the will of God. You think you're God. God did not give you those children to protect them from God. You're not better than God. You're not smarter than God. You're a rebel against God. You thought God gave you those children to keep. He did not. He gave them so that you might give them back to Him. The devil wants your kids. The devil, he wants them to do what society says do, just as long as they don't do what God wants. The devil wants to use your kids to break your heart. See, you ought to want to be used. But I better warn you, the devil wants to use you. He wants to use your body. He wants to use your voice. He wants to use your children. He wants to use your money. He wants you to spend your money so that you invest and you help to finance the liquor traffic. He wants to use your money so you spend it on wicked pleasures. He wants to use your money. Hey, for some of you, he just wants you to hoard it up and let your money be your security and not God. Let me tell you something. I believe as you grow older, you need to put some money away for retirement. Any of you ever heard me teach on it? I'm for that. It needs to be done. But some people, they depend on money rather than God. In fact, they're not even faithful to God in their finances. Oh, they're hoarding it up. Why? That's their security. The devil loves that. He wants to use your money. He would love it if you look to your money rather than look to your God for your future. Now, let me warn you something. If you're that way and God pricks your heart about it, God has a way of getting that money. He could get that money and get you back to depending on Him again. Hey, you could even go out and buy good things that you don't need and waste your money and the devil will be pleased with that. Just as long as you don't do what God wants you to do with your money. Is the devil already using your money? Is he already using your body? Is the devil using your voice? Is the devil getting your children? Hey, the devil likes to get your personality. He wants to use your personality. You realize every day of your life, you're going to choose, is God going to use it or is the devil going to use it? Is God going to use it or is the devil going to use it? He wants to use your personality. He'd love to get some of your personality. Some of you, as you develop your personality and you learn to be friendly and kind and all of that, he'd love to get you working at his casinos. You could draw people over to the gambling tables and have that refreshing spirit and a smile. He'd love that. He'd love for you to sell wicked things. He'd love to use that personality. One of the saddest things, and I'll tell you something, one of the worst things, I watch young people reared in decent homes, and they're taught leadership, and they're taught strength. Then they get away from God, they go out and use leadership that they were taught, and they were to use it for God, they go out and use it for the devil. That's sad. That's sad to me. You young people around here, we are not teaching you at MCA to go out and work in the casinos. We're not teaching you at MCA to go out and make a bunch of money and drop out of church and turn your back on God. We're not teaching you how to be a success over there so you turn your back on God and go out and make money and then you don't serve God anymore. But the devil, see, he wants that personality. You go to Martinsburg Christian Academy, we'll teach you to sell things. Oh, yeah. We'll teach you to go out and sell candy bars and how to be friendly, but we're not teaching you that so you can go out and make $1 million, turn your back on God. Part of it, we are teaching that so you can be winsome in the church and win people to Jesus Christ and get people to come and be a part of the family of God. Oh, but the devil wants your personality. He wants to lead some of you teenagers to use the personality that you have that mom and dad gave you so you could lead some of our teenagers astray. Lead them because you're a rebel. Hey, listen. Somebody wants to lead you away from the old time religion. You look at some of these contemporary, yuppie type of the new Christianity they're trying to bring on the scene. Them old boys are so winsome. Ooh, do they have a personality? My wife said to me one day, she said, "Honey, with your spirit and your excitement and your intensity, just imagine if you were a contemporary style. You could have a church of thousands because they'd flock to get in on that." Well, I got news for you. I'd rather have my 800 or 1,000 and be right with God than for God for the devil to get a hold of what God's given me and misuse it and get people off track.
Yes, sir.
I'm for the old-time religion. And what little personality I have, and you're saying, well, you don't have much, but what little I have is stuck on the old black book in the old ways, and we're going to have an old-fashioned church. An old-fashioned church. I'm not going to use my personality to try to get fame or wealth or anything like that. I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm going to spit, and I'm going to kick, and I'm going to growl, and I'm going to tell it the old-time way. My personality's not for sale. I'm not trying to go down in history. I want to do things right. Oh, but just the devil wants your personality. He wants your personality. He wants that desperately. He wants your testimony. So what's your testimony? That's your reputation, if you will. Devil would like your testimony to hurt our church. Devil would like your testimony to hurt your family. The devil, he wants us to build a wicked testimony or a wicked reputation. The devil, he wants that thing. He wants you to be a bad dude or a loose woman. He wants that. He wants your testimony. He wants to use it. Hey, the devil, he'd like to have your testimony, Martinsburg Christian Academy student. He would like to have your testimony to give our school a bad name. Does he have you? Is the devil using your body? Is he using your voice? Is he using your children? Is he using your money? Is he using your personality? Is he using your testimony? You see, when Jesus was talking to Peter, he was talking to somebody that's born again. He said, "Peter, devil wants to get you. You've got a lot of potential. You're going to do something." But he's either going to do it for God or he's going to do it for the devil. You know what? Satan wants to use your time. He wants to use your time. He wants to use your time by eating up your time listening to bad music. He wants to use your time by wasting it on bad television. He wants you to do anything on Thursday night but come soul winning. He wants to use your life, your time. You teenagers, the devil wants your youth. He wants your youth. He wants it. He wants to steal it. He wants you to get all excited about the things in the world that make you tingle. He wants to use up your youthful years. Some of you in your middle years, now you got enough sense to go out and make some money. He wants you to get so caught up in this world that he uses your middle years. Hey, some of you that are heading toward or already arrived at retirement, you know what he wants you to do? He wants you to waste your retirement. He wants you to waste it. He don't want you to use your retirement years in serving him. He wants your time. He wants to use your influence. So you businessmen, let me tell you something. The devil is out to get your influence. You're capable. You're building a business. You're known in the community. And he says, "I want to use that man's influence. I'm going to use that man's influence to keep people out of church. I'm going to use that man's influence." And he wants to use your influence. You parents, you have great influence. Most influential position on the face of the earth is that of being a parent. You are influencing our next generation and the people that will either make or break the United States of America, and they're right in your home. He wants to use your influence. Hey, community leader, he wants to use your influence. Hey, wealthy person, He wants to use your influence. You've got a little money. You've got a little clout. The devil wants to use your influence. Hey, teenager, the devil wants to use your influence. Hey, teacher, the devil wants to use your influence. Hey, politician, the devil wants to use your influence. Hey, is he using your influence? He wants to use you. He wants to use your dreams. You dream of building a business because of your lust for money. Well, where's God in all this?
Amen.
He wants you to dream dreams that do not include God. He wants you to dream of success because of your desire for fame. When you ought to be dreaming of success for God's fame. He wants to use you. He wants you to dream dreams, but He wants to make sure that those dreams are being dreamed for anybody but God. He wants to use your attitude. He'd like to use your attitude about our spring attendance building campaign. We give some gifts away and some promotional items away. He wants you to turn your nose up and be too good for that. Well, let me tell you something. You say, I don't think people ought to bring folks to church for a gift. Good. Let's see how many you bring. We just won't give you anything. Because you care about people so much, you're probably going to win the prizes and turn them down. Let's go for it, buddy. Or are you just a griper? And heaven happens to be an awful, wonderful reward. And God told us all about it. Oh, hey, listen. He wants to use your attitude. He wants to use your attitude. And He wants you to have a negative attitude about our church and what God's doing here. He doesn't. The devil wants you to use a bad attitude about how we talk about going soul winning. He wants you to have a bad attitude about our Sunday school classes and all the how we hype up the Sunday school classes and how important they are, or those bus routes. He wants you to use your attitude and have a bad attitude about the old time religion. You know, you say, Brother Owens, time has changed. There are other preachers that used to believe the old time way. They're changing with the times. They're becoming more modern with their music. They're becoming more modern with their Bibles. Well, they can all rot where the boogeyman lives. I'm not changing. That's just the way it's going to be. I don't care what they're all doing. You say, well, there's some, and they're doing it. It doesn't matter what everyone else is doing. But you might have that attitude. You might say, let's have a contemporary service. We're not going to have a contemporary service. We're not going to do that. We're going to have an old-fashioned service. That's how it's going to be. Hey, think for a moment. I want you to think. I really want some of you to say something. How much of your life have you already given to the devil? There's some of you who are 30 years old before you got saved. You gave him 30 years of your life. Think. How serious have you been about who's using you? How many years did you live not even thinking about God using you? You just came to church, plunked it down and said, I'll use God, but He ain't going to use me. It's all about me and what I can get out of the church and how can I gain and what's in it for me. I've got news for you. We're to serve Him. We're to be His servants. So you better stop and ask yourself this question. Do you want to be used? Because everybody ought to want to be used. But the devil, he wants to use you. He wants to use your body and your voice and your children and your money and your personality and your testimony and your time and your influence and your dream and your attitude. He wants to use you. Number three, I've got good news though. God wants to use you too. Psalm 139 verse 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that thou my soul knowest right well. God wants to use you. Not only does Satan want to use you, but God wants to use you. You were created for a purpose. You are not an accident. You say, well, my mother wasn't expecting to have a baby, and I just shocked everybody when she found out she was pregnant. It might have shocked everybody else, but it did not shock God. You say, well, I was born to a mama out of wedlock, and I was a shock. I wasn't planned. God planned you. God planned you. No babies are born unless God knew what was going on. It may not have been done the right way. God doesn't want us to have babies out of wedlock, but I'm going to tell you something. Once that baby's personality was formed, God said, I have a will for that baby. That's why we shouldn't abort them. God has a will for that baby. God has a will. God needs you. He wants to do something with your life. God wants to use you. What an honor. You think about this. The creator of the universe wants to use man. More specifically, he wants to use you. Every one of you in the balcony. He wants to use you. He had a plan for every day of your life last week. Who used you? Who used you? You say, I'm a visitor here tonight. You visitors from Connecticut. God brought you here tonight to hear this sermon. Now you go figure out what God wants to do in your life and let God use you. God wanted everybody to hear this sermon. Why? God wants to use you. He wants to use you today. Did He?
Good.
He wanted to use you yesterday. Did He?
Good.
He wants to use you tomorrow. Will you let Him? Will you wake up tomorrow and say, here I am, God, use me today. He said, but Owen, I'm a housewife. You get up in the morning and say, God, use me. I'm a truck driver. God, use me. I want to be used today. That's what I want. He said, but Brother Owens, I'm just a dirty old rotten sinner. That's all we are. We're all a bunch of dirty rotten sinners. That's all God has to use. Stop using that as an excuse. You say, I was rotten in my past. Don't you think God knows? Now, your past is gone. Your present is here. Your future's ahead. Get in the saddle and ride on for God and do something with your life. God used other sinners and lots of them. I want to read something to you here. It's about being used of God. A man and his wife are awakened at 3 o'clock in the morning by a loud pounding on the door. The man gets up and goes to the door where a drunken stranger is standing in the pouring rain. And the man says, I need a push. Not a chance, says the husband. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. He slams the door and he returns to bed. Who was that? Asks his wife. Just some drunk guy asking for a push, he answers. Well, did you help him? She asks. No, I did not. It's 3 in the morning and it's pouring down rain out there. Well, that wasn't a very Christian thing to do. Can't you remember about 3 months ago when we broke down and those two men helped us? I think you should go help him. All he needs is a push. You should be ashamed of yourself. You want God to use you, don't you? The man does as he's told. He gets dressed, goes out into the pouring rain. He calls out into the dark. Hello? Are you still there? Yes, comes back the answer. Do you still need a push? Calls the husband. Yes, please. Come on over. I need a push. Where are you? Asks the husband. The drunk answers. Over here on the swing in the backyard. They both want to use you. I'll tell you something. God used the Apostle Paul. And he persecuted Christians in his earlier life, but God used him. God used Moses. Moses murdered a man. Peter was the cusser, the deceiver, and the coward at one point in his life. But he said, you know something? I will not let the devil continue to use me. I will rise up. I'll get away from my sin and I'll be used. God wants to use you this week. Did he use you this last week? Can you point to something and say, God used me to do that? And so, you know, most of the time God will use you in regard to people. To people. Serving people. Accomplishing something for people. Whose life did you touch? God saved you to use you. He saved you. I'll tell you something. He saved you so He could take you to heaven. You know what you're going to do in heaven? You're going to be used by God in heaven. You're going to be used by God. Not to sit and watch. Not just to be a cheerleader, but get in the game. If you're lost, God wants to use you. I'll tell you one reason why you ought to get saved if you're lost so God can use you. God wants to use you. God wants to use you. If you're backslidden, you ought to get right with God so He can use you. It's not too late.